Where were we? Romans 10, right? Verse number 1, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. This is Paul, the apostle, great hero of our faith, just sharing his heart's passion and desire. His heart's desire and prayer to God is that the people may be saved. Verse number 13, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So many questions, so many little answers. And how can they preach unless they've been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. My message is really simple tonight, and the title of the message is simply this: preach, preach. Everyone just shout, preach,
preach,
preach. We'll pray just real short and then we'll get into it. God, we just thank you that you've brought us to this place tonight, God, to be church together, to do church together, to honor you together, and to be encouraged that we would live a significant week this week. We thank you, God. Your word tells us, the Bible tells us, you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And God, help us to discover what that is. Help us to live that out. Help us to speak that out. And we pray, God, there'll be many people are in and around our lives, God, that would see us, hear us, see something different about us, and would ask questions. And we know you've called us to live a significant week. So help us tonight discover a bit more and live boldly and confidently in that, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Pastor Ed told you just a little bit about myself, husband of one wife, you'd be glad to know, Emily, and my three children now. And Jasmine is 8 years old, Zach's 5, and Ezekiel's 3. And they are, thank you, glory, oh, felt that. They're weapons, I'm telling you. The boys together, Zach and Ezekiel, you will not know what has hit you. It's just like a whirlwind. I wake up every morning and I don't get any choice about that fact. It happens to me. And the day is old before pretty much 3 seconds has started in the day, you know, and they're just amazing. But, you know, when God gives you children, you know he's trying to teach you patience. That's what I learned. And I'm not the most patient person. So when I had children, I had a lot of learning to do. Homework is one of those things. You see, Zach's 5 is in year 1. And when he brings a reading book home, I have to really struggle in those moments because those books can take a very long time to say the most simplest of sentences. And everything within me screaming out just to tell him what it says on the page. And yet I've got to sit back, try and relax, let him know he's doing great, and just sit there for half an hour trying to get out a sentence that just says, the cat sat on the mat. I'm just like, I want to tell him it's the cat. I'm like, this is killing me. Jasmine's a little older. She's in year 3 and her homework's getting really complex now. I've got to admit that. It's gone past Emily. No, I shouldn't say that. It's gone past my learning. And so I'll look at the homework and I'll be thinking, man, this is actually really hard. And in year 3. But Jasmine, most of the time, she's a little bit more intellectual. And so she's kind of worked things out and she knows the answers. But sometimes her learning isn't trying to figure out the answer. She's worked out the answer, but her learning is how do I process that on the page? Because she's not only getting marks for the answer, she's getting marks for the working out the process. And we all know through school, most of the learning was how do you tell the person that you know what the right answer is? And so Jasmine's there and she's like, man, I know the answer. I know the end point, but I just don't know how to get there. I guess there's things in all of our lives where we almost know the outcome we want. We know how to live the life that we know the life we want, but we just don't know how to get to that point. Most of us in this room, if we have a relationship with God, we know how good He is. And we know that we want other people to know how good He is. Most of the time, we want our workplaces and our friends and our families to know this God that we now have discovered. And yet often, we just don't know the process. We just don't know how to actualize that. We just don't know how to work that through. And tonight, I just want to really simply help us to figure that out. We all have got a heart for Preston, this region, the north, to hear about God and to discover God. But how do we work that out through our lives? I want you to know, if you're answering those questions, you're in good company. The Apostle Paul himself, one of the legends, the heroes of the faith, who wrote most of the New Testament, he was just like me and you. He knew what he wanted, but so often he had more questions than he had answers. His heart was, I want all people to hear about Jesus, to know Jesus, to discover him, because anyone that calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. I just don't know how to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul writes these words to the church, and in a sense would write these words to us tonight. So it was with me, brothers and sisters. I didn't come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed, as I preached to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching, I went with wise and persuasive words, but they were just with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, intellect, but on God's power. The Apostle Paul was just like me and you. He knew what he wanted to get out there, but he didn't have incredible arguments and thoughts and ideas. But what he did have was a demonstration of the Spirit of God through his life. I read an incredible book a number of years ago, and some of you may have read this book from Bill Hybels. It's a book called Just Walk Across the Room. Incredible book. I'd encourage every one of you to read that book. And just how do I see my friends and family hear about Jesus in a really simple way? The whole book was written on an experience he had one time where he was at a civic function and he was sat with people around the table. And one of the people across the table, as he introduced himself, the guy across the table had a decidedly Muslim name. And he thought, okay, this is going to be maybe interesting as soon as he discovers what I do and how's this going to go. And the meal went on, and at the end of the meal, this guy that was sat opposite on his table, Bill thought he must be a Muslim, he looked at Bill square in the eyes, pointed at him, and he was well built. He said, I want to see you after the meeting. Bill's like, okay, I'm not sure how this is going to go, what he's going to say. I want to see you outside. The last time anyone said outside, that was at school, high school, right? They wanted to fight. Anyway, Bill says, okay, we'll have a chat. And so after the whole civic function's getting finished, and Bill goes, and this guy begins to speak to him, and he's actually got tears in his eyes. He says to Bill, you don't know the impact that you have had on my life. Begins to tell him his story, how this guy who now has a Muslim name had actually grown up with his parents in church. And yet when he had gone to university, he was feeling a little bit lost on his own. And the group that he found himself in, the group that actually were engaging with him and helping him to connect into university life, happened to be a group of Muslims. And so this guy just thought, okay, cool, I'm going to check this out, see what happens. And eventually he begins to, he'd walked away from the church already through a set of circumstances unrelated to what was happening now. But he decides to convert and become a Muslim. Fast forward the years, this guy marries a Muslim wife and they have children. They're raising their children up in a Muslim home. And the years go past, and he's doing a lot of business functions, and this guy's away a lot, and often a lot of these networking things are around, you know, bars and stuff like that. And so being a Muslim, obviously, is finding a lot of these scenarios pretty awkward, as you can imagine. And so on one of these times, he's on his own, and he's kind of done the business card thing, the networking thing. He's met the people he needed to meet, put his business card in the hands of other people, and he's kind of thinking, okay, I've done what I need to do. I'm just going to get out of here. And so he's just kind of finishing off his little canapes, his snacks. There's nothing too good on there, but he's just doing what he needs to do. And he's thinking, I'm going to make my exit now, when he sees a group of people who look totally different to him, but all look the same. And one of them, just through the circle, spots this guy. And he can see, okay, this guy's registered me. You know when someone's clocked you and you know they've clocked you and you're like, there's that eye contact moment? Most times eye contact, you've either got to be really rude and just totally blank them and ignore them, or you've got to acknowledge. So he goes with the second option, just acknowledges him. And this guy walks straight through his circle and walks over to this guy. They begin to chat, and they're just like business, football, different things that they're talking about, before they kind of get onto the subject of faith. And this guy happens to be a Christian. And he says to the Muslim guy, hey, we've connected. We've got the same football team. We've got a few things in common. Why don't we grab breakfast? And this Muslim guy knows he's a Christian. Says, like, listen, if I'm going to be another project, then let's just say no now. I'm not interested. And the guy's like, no. I have no Muslim friends. I would love to find out about Islam because I literally don't know anything. I'm actually ignorant. So can you help educate me? I'm really interested in your lifestyle, what it looks like. You told me you grew up in a church home. And so I would love just to know your story. So the guy's like, yeah, great. So they end up meeting for breakfast the next morning. And fast forward, they get on so well that over the next 6 weeks, they have breakfast once a week together. This guy's just finding out all about Islam and this guy's story, his family, his friends, and all about the lifestyle changes. 6 weeks go past, and this guy's pretty much run out of everything that he could share about his new faith, Islam, to the point where they go, okay, where do we go now? We get on, good hanging out, getting breakfast. And the Muslim guy says to him, well, I've told you everything about my faith. Why don't you tell me, because I've been away from it for so long, tell me why you're still so excited about your faith and your church. And so the next 6 weeks, they flip. And the Christian guy just begins to share about his story, his family, his friends, and his faith. It gets to the end of the 6 weeks, and this Muslim guy cannot believe everything that he had been brought up in so many years ago comes flooding back. The reality of a personal God who loves, has a plan and a calling for his life comes right back. And it's almost to the point where he had turned away from it, but in a sense, it never left him. He goes home after one of these breakfasts and he falls on his knees next to his bed and he invites Jesus back into his life. He walks away from his Muslim faith and he ends up converting his wife and his children who have obviously never grown up in church. And together they start going to a Bible-based church. And this whole story, this whole family's life was transformed by one guy who simply managed to walk across a room. When Bill heard this story, that is why he wrote the book, Just Walk Across the Room. He was so impacted by the simplicity, But the profundity of just one person making a decision to just walk across the room. The reality is every single one of us in this room, we can make a decision in our workplace, in our school, in our college, or even in a coffee shop. I reckon every single one of us could just walk across a room. I wonder if you could fast forward in people that you already know and already have connection with. If you were just to walk across the room to them, this guy took a moment out of the circle of comfort and he walked straight through it and he said, I'm breaking out of my circle to get into somebody else's space. This week, there are countless opportunities for you to walk out of your circle of comfort and get into somebody else's space. When I first read the book, Just Walk Across the Room, and heard this story, I was so impacted that the first thing I did, I was involved in student ministry. I got straight on campus. And I walked around a university's campus and I began to look for opportunities. It's almost like my eyes had been opened to a world that had always been there, but I just never bothered to walk across the room. I began to look for opportunities and moments to engage in a simple conversation that would open up not just a natural flow, but a supernatural thing of what God wanted to do. I began to just buy newspapers just to sit next to somebody who was eating their lunch. And then we'd look at something, I'd try and engage with something in the newspaper that might have an impact on their life, just to initiate a conversation. And we started this whole thing of campus outreach was based on just people, normal, everyday, average people, just walking into other people's spaces, starting up conversations about nothing that led to something incredible. One of the girls that actually made a decision for Jesus as a result of this ended up leading her own teams on campus and seeing other people join team and get saved simply because we had a student ministry that was based on just walking across the room. Bill Bethel, America, Bill Johnson, his church, incredible church of anointing for healing, incredible things. You know their music, Bethel Music, but in their church, there was a story in a local supermarket of someone that got healed in the supermarket. And the press heard this story and they got in touch with Bill Johnson, the church. They said, can you just tell us about the healing teams that you've got out, going out into supermarkets and going out into Redding, isn't it, California? Tell us about the teams you're sending out. He says, we're not sending any teams out. We don't have healing teams going out. They said, yeah, you do. You've had people in the supermarket. People have been getting healed because of your teams in supermarkets. He said, we do not have healing teams in supermarkets. They said, you do. We've got the stories. We've managed to find these stories. And they told us that it wasn't through doctors' surgeries. It wasn't through stuff. It was through people in a supermarket praying for them that they've been radically healed. He said, oh, okay, I know what's happened. We don't have healing teams in supermarkets. We just have Christians at shop. Simply people having their radar on, looking for opportunities to engage with normal, everyday, average people just like me and you, who've got issues just like me and you, situations in their life going on just like me and you. And yet all it took for these healing teams to have such a radical impact was for the one person to be bothered enough to just walk across the room. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, God has set eternity on the hearts of men. That changes everything. When you go out of this place and you walk into your workplace, recognizing at the forefront of your mind that God has set eternity on the hearts of every single person, that changes the way you do life. I used to work at Sheffield City Council. That's a glamorous job right there. And as I walked into Sheffield City Council, there's a corridor I would walk up and I would pray every morning, God, give me opportunities today. And then I changed my prayer because I recognized, God, you are always giving me opportunities. God, help me to take the opportunities that you give me every day. We'd walk into work and expect that God was going to set up a moment. But I recognized that God set eternity on every person's heart. They want to respond to Jesus. They just don't know it yet. And all it takes is for you just to walk across the room. The other week I was preparing a message in Costa, in Chester, and I was preparing a message to speak in church. And as I was preparing, I could overhear a conversation next to me. I was thinking, man, I don't want to hear this conversation. I'm trying to prepare a message for church. And this people's, they're interfering. I'm trying to build church and you're trying to get your conversation so other people can hear. I don't want to listen to your conversation. I'm trying to prepare a message for church so that we can see Chester saved. I want to see many people saved and you're just trying to engage. And then I was like, hang on a minute. I'm trying to preach a message to inspire and encourage everybody else to go to Costa. Make a difference. And God is presenting an opportunity right here. Right. Began to engage in a conversation, put my notes down for a second. And it was pretty quick because one of the first questions people ask you is, what do you do? Pastor of church here in Cheston. Conversation opened up. I've always wanted to go to church, but I've just never wanted to walk through the doors on my own. There are countless people all around us in this region. There's countless people within a stone's throw of our homes and our church buildings and our small group, wherever they meet and wherever we do stuff and do life and do church, there are countless people who would love the opportunities that we sit in every week, the conversations that we have every week, but it's going to take us to just walk across the room. I want to just give you three real quick things about what should we do if we want to preach, but we just don't know how. And the first thing is really simply this. Just hang out with him. Just hang out with him. Him being Jesus, God. If you hang out with Jesus, his heart becomes your heart. His passion becomes your passion. His desires become your desires. And when you hang out with Jesus, everything that the way you orientate your life becomes a little bit different because who you hang out with determines so much about your life. In the natural, we could look at each other's lives and we could show you your future by who your friends are. Your friends determine so much about your future. In the natural, the people that we put around our lives determine so much about the direction of our life. And if you bring God into your world, your future will look a lot different. Yeah. If you hang around with God, not only does his heart become your heart, his passion and his desires become your passion and your desire, but all of who he is becomes all of who you are. And so who God is becomes how you live your life, how you operate. His strength becomes your strength. His empowerment becomes your empowerment. And his word becomes your word. If you would take a moment, a few moments this week in your car, you can be wherever you are doing your normal, everyday, average life like each one of us. But just say, God, I just want to hang out with you in this moment. Just come and sit with me. The disciples had Jesus come into their room in John chapter 20. The disciples, the Bible tells us, they were locked up in fear that the same guys that had got Jesus on the cross were about to come and get him. The Bible tells us that Jesus rocked up in their room. And in the middle of their room, there was a whole bunch of fear and there was a whole bunch of faith. Jesus brought the faith. The disciples brought the fear. But one of those things had to go because faith and fear cannot coexist. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 says, perfect love, that is Jesus Christ, drives out all fear. And when you get Jesus into your space, when you invite Jesus to hang out in your life, when you invite Jesus into your world, he drives out all fear. I love that about Jesus. He is not polite with fear. He's relentless with fear. He's rude with fear. It doesn't say, he says to fear, oh, would you mind just leaving? Just for a few moments, just while we do church. And then as soon as the people have gone back to their home, fear, you're welcome back into their life. Jesus is rude. He's relentless with fear. The Bible tells us that he drives out fear. And if you hang out with God, if you invite Jesus into your life, he will drive fear out of your life. You will live life differently simply because you've made a decision to invite Jesus into your space. You got to hang out with him. Second thing is just reflect him. Reflect him. Most of your preaching will be done by the lifestyle that you live. The way you live your life will do so much talking for you. The way the decisions that you make and the things that you do, and the things that you don't do, those things in and of themselves will make such an impact. And sometimes we can think, man, I just don't know enough Bible. I don't have decent arguments. I don't have the apologetics. I don't have a great understanding of the theological intricacies. I don't know enough verses. I don't know what to do. And yet your life is screaming, Jesus. I want to encourage you, just reflect Jesus through your life, and that will make a massive impact on the people around you. Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, fruit happens. We talked a little bit this morning about fruit is an inevitable outcome of a seed. And if you hang out with God, the fruit of who God is an inevitable outcome from your life. Fruit happens. If you hang out with God, you watch, the fruits of the Spirit will evidence themselves in your life. The way you respond and react in certain situations, people will go, wow, that was different. You're kind. You're generous. You're happy on a Monday morning. You just seem to live life a little lighter. You don't seem to carry the burdens and pressure of life. You carry it in a different way. Can you tell me? And if you would have people around your life for long enough, questions are inevitable. I want to encourage you, hang out with him. Second thing, reflect him. And the third thing is speak about him. Ben, you can come on up. Speak about him. What you talk about comes from what you value. We talk about the things we value without even thinking about it. Football just flows in my conversation. You don't have to, be too much in a conversation with me, and I'd be happily talking about the greatest team on the face of the planet, Manchester United. Preston North End, sorry. Because I value sport and football, that conversation is easy to flow from my life. Girls, you are happy to talk about shoes and shopping. You love it because you value it. We love to talk about food or politics or whatever your interest in, the things that you value. You don't have to try to talk about them. Because you love them so much, they just flow from your conversation. In fact, people will know you because, they talk about that. Or they'll even come to you if they want to talk about a specific topic. They'll come to you. They'll find you. If they want to know a little bit more, they'll come to you because they know that conversation and you've got experience in that area. If you hang out with Jesus for long enough, regularly enough, if you hang out with him and allow his life to flow through your life, then the natural conversation of your life, it'll be on the tip of your tongue when people say, why are you different? You'll be like, I can't hide this. I mean, this is on a plate. I'm not going to say for any longer, it's just because I'm happy. You're going to say, are you really asking me? Let me tell you the real reason. It's not just because of my personality. Yeah. I am kind of happy and I do like to live life and have fun, but there is a reason for that. There is a deeper foundation to that. And since you asked, because I value and appreciate so much, let me just tell you a little bit about my experience. See, the natural flow of your conversation, of what you talk about, will lead you, if you have a conversation long enough, to talking about your personal connection with the greatest solution to all of life's questions, to all of life's queries and quandaries and things. All of that leads to Jesus. I want to encourage you this week, speak about him. Speak about the thing that you love and the thing that you value. Often the most closed place to the gospel is not out there, it's in here. It's in our minds. The most closed place to preaching the gospel is in the Christian's mind. Because we put onto other people that they don't want to hear. Because one negative experience has pushed us away from the 10 incredible opportunities that present themselves. And so now fear has locked our mind and shut our mouth. And God is saying, come on, speak about me. Speak about me. Don't let your mindset rob you of a supernatural conversation this week.